Hey guys, Bradley Dillon here from thenewfury.com. We are in Tampa, Florida. I just saw Amberlynn's second to last show here. It was definitely a good night for anyone who was able to come out, or even anyone who was able to see them play some of their last shows. Copeland also played tonight. You know, a lot of people haven't heard from them in a number of years, but they've got a new record out and it sounded great tonight. But we're actually here with the band that opened tonight. You may know him from The Chariot and Norma Jean, some of his previous projects, but here with a very good friend of mine. So why don't you introduce yourself and what band you play and what you do in the band?
My name is Josh Scoggin, and I play in 68. I do guitar and vocals and whatever else I can get my hands on.
And my first question for you, seeing you guys for the first time tonight, I find that there's been a huge rise in two-piece bands. Like, you know, Royal Blood is getting really huge, both in the UK and around here. I think they played with the Pixies recently, actually. So how do you as a band make the two or only two people work so well?
Well, there's a lot of tricks that we do for trying to get sound out. You know, I split my guitar three ways and run it through three different amps, and it goes across the whole stage. A lot of different tricks like that. I have percussion drums that I pull out sometimes. I didn't do them tonight because we have a quick little set, you know. And we just literally just try to, you know, anything we can get our hands on. I've toured with an organ before, so our drummer actually would be one hand playing drums, one hand pushing buttons on an organ. But yeah, I mean, our whole goal is to see how much noise, you know, two guys can make, and how much, you know, what we can do with the little bit we got, you know. So that's quite the fun part of it, you know, figuring out how much we can pull off of just two dudes.
I think it's really interesting because it's the kind of thing that a lot of people are really starting to enjoy more experimental and chaotic stuff nowadays. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of always been like that, but it's as music is getting out there more, you know, basically the internet has helped that out a lot.
Yeah, sure.
And I've noticed that you guys have gotten on some pretty cool tours lately. For instance, it was just announced, but you got on tour with Stick to Your Guns and Amity Affliction. How did you guys get on that tour, and who approached you for that?
Well, I know most of the I know every band on that tour, but the headliners being Stick to Your Guns, I think, you know, I've known at least one of those dudes for a long, long time, but I've known them all pretty for a fairly long time. So I think just being friends with them and knowing them, and you know, they knew I had a new project out, and I haven't talked to them specifically about this, but I'd like to think they heard it, liked it, and wanted it on the tour, you know? So that's how I'm on this Amberlynn tour. I've known them for 16 years now or so, maybe more. And we've, you know, my old bands played with their old bands, and we just, you know, got along really well, and they invited us out to do those shows, so we said yes. That simple.
I think it's really cool that you're on tour with Amberlynn, especially playing tonight. I imagine a lot of their fans didn't really know what to expect, but I think a lot of people really, especially Amberlynn fans, really fans of any kind of music, are really going to enjoy what you're doing. Talking more about Amberlynn, though, what does that band mean to you? What's that band meant to you over the years, and what's it like for you knowing that tomorrow's their last show in Orlando?
Yeah. Well, it's hard. I know them way more as friends and personal relationships, and more than maybe the way as a band and how they've affected a lot of people's lives. I feel like I'm more affected, you know, just by personal relationships. You know what I mean? I like their band. I think they're awesome. But I've known these guys for so long, and it's just a wild thing that, you know, like, to not see, you know, when they come to Atlanta, we'd go out and hang out, you know, and that won't happen again, you know. So, you know, for me, it's a matter of just, you know, missing out on hanging out with them and stuff like that, you know, and you know, the possibility of, you know, making it harder and harder to see a friend, you know. So, so that's what it means more to me than necessarily, you know, like as a band being impacted or whatever. I feel like, you know, it's all about the friendships and stuff we've made that I think's really sort of the big ticket there, you know.
for those listening out there, you know, the new 68 record did pretty well on opening week sales. I mean, that's still a really big thing, despite the fact that seemingly no one buys records anymore.
Sure.
But it's been out for a few months now. For those who don't really know, how does it differ from your work in the Chariot?
I mean, it's definitely sonically way different. You know, it's more rock and roll and... still aggressive, but it's definitely not as aggressive as, like, the Chariot was. But it still comes from a heart of, like, passion, you know? But yeah, it's a lot different than the vibe is a lot different than the Chariot, you know? I sing a lot and stuff like that. Thank you. You know, there's some songs I sing on, and there's some songs that are more chill by nature than the Chariot would have ever pulled off, you know, so yeah, it's way different, but it all comes from the same center of, like, passion and, you know, singing about things I believe in and singing about stuff that I'm passionate about, you know, and trying to get that art across, you know.
What kind of things are you passionate about?
Dude, what am I not passionate about? That's more of a, more, that's a shorter list. I have a very sort of addictive personality, so I feel like I find beauty in all sorts of things, whether it's actual beautiful things or, you know, the beauty and the struggle, you know what I mean? I enjoy it all. So every day I feel like I'm easily inspired, I feel like, you know, so yeah, it's hard to find things I can't find beauty in, you know, so it's a good curse to have, I think.
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to watch it yet, but I heard that the Chariot documentary is now on YouTube, but like I said, I've really got to check that out when I get home. But how long did it take you guys to film that, and why exactly did you decide to do a documentary about the band?
Well, it was just the last tour. A friend of ours, Derek, came out. His company's Imagery Storm, and he came out and hung out with us on, like, maybe half a tour or so, and then came out the last several shows, obviously, and he just filmed everything, and you know, he put it together, and we released it when we did, because that was the last show, the Chariot, 1 year ago, I think yesterday, was the very last show the Chariot played. So he released it on that, 1 year to the day, he released it on that day, so. But yeah, it's a very fun watch. I definitely cried a little bit, but you know, at the same time, as you know, the decision was very peaceful when we made it and everything, and I think we're all, you know, real happy that where we're at. But it's just, you know, you grow to know something, and for me it was 10 years of, you know, doing this thing called the Chariot. So when it parted ways, I mean, it was definitely, you know, very emotional, but that doesn't mean, you know, I still feel like it was the right decision to make, you know, amongst all of us, because we all have personal lives and, you know, we're moving forward in our own paths. And so it's awesome that it happened, and it's awesome that we were able to, you know, do one more tour and say goodnight and goodbye and thank you and all this other stuff. And so, yeah, our friend Derek just filmed it, and he spent a year editing it together and making it. It's really a piece of art, you know, and I can say that based on his work, you know, not... He did really cool things with our music and stuff, but it's really just, you know, he's a good artist, and he makes great, you know, material, and so it's definitely worth watching. Even if you didn't like the Chariot, I think there's elements you'd appreciate about this, you know, and I can say that honestly just based on how good of an artist he is with what he's got, you know, so.
When I was getting out of seeing Amberlynn and waiting for you over at the merch area, I noticed you were talking to a lot of fans. And, as someone who writes constantly about music and bands and things like that, I always wonder what fans come up to you and say. For instance, tonight, what were some of the people saying about you or, like, talking to you about?
Well, tonight's a little different because a lot of people don't know the Chariot or don't know, you know, that they're here for Amberlynn. They may not necessarily know my past or anything. So a lot of, you know, people just saying good job or whatever, you know, and a couple of guys actually were just like, yeah, I've never heard of you guys. And I'm like, well, that's fine. We're fairly new, you know. So, you know, generally nice things. But you know, these shows are a lot different than if it's somewhere that the majority of the people at the show might know the Chariot or whatever. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it was just people saying really nice things and you know, and saying we do good or, you know, we were loud or whatever, you know. So, I'll take it.
You know, one of the things I've noticed, Norma Jean, the Chariot, especially the Chariot, because I probably saw the Chariot like 5 or 6 times, and 68, one of the big things I've noticed is shows tend to get pretty crazy, and fans seem to be really passionate about whatever, either of those 3 projects, mm-hmm. but especially the Chariot. What kind of impact would you say that you as a musician have had or with fans, you know, whether it's live or on record or anything like that?
I mean, I don't know. You'd have to ask them that, but I hope that, you know, there's some form of, you know, some sort of, like, I hope I leave people with some sort of hope, some sort of positivity. You know, there's enough terrible things in this world. I'm not trying to emphasize those, you know. That doesn't mean I'm not human, but at the same time, you know, I try to stay on the sunny side and, you know, just, you know, leave people with kind of a hope or whatever, but, as an artist, I just try to, you know, find what I'm passionate about and talk about those things or work with those things, whether it's music or, you know, film or whatever. I try my best to do things that I believe in, and to me, that immediately becomes a success, because even if it, someone else's definition, even if it fails, to me, I got to do something I love. Do you know what I mean? And so if nobody heard it or whatever, it's like, well, that doesn't necessarily define that it failed. It just means that nobody heard it. But at the end of the day, I think it's a success because I got to create art. You know, it doesn't matter if anyone saw it or heard it or whatever. The more people that see it or hear it or like it or tell you that it was good or whatever, that's just cherry on top of a really nice cake, you know? And at the end of the day, it's like, that's cool, but it's not why I make art. You know what I mean? I make art to be able to stand back and look at something, and maybe it was therapeutic, maybe it was something that helped me out of a situation, or you know, maybe it's something I just really believed in, or whatever, you know. And so at the end of the day, that's, it then becomes a success, you know, and you know, whether people hear it or like it or don't like it or whatever, all that stuff becomes irrelevant to, is it a success or not, you know what I mean? Like I said, a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know the Chariot, you know, and people could be like, oh, I've never heard of them. That must be a failed attempt at doing a thing. I'm like, nah, I got a tour 10 years of my life, you know, with doing that. It was a complete success, you know. But everyone's definition of what a success and what a failure is completely different, you know. And so for me, it's just making art that you believe in and being able to do what you love, you know what I mean? And so anything on top of that's just bonus material, you know. So
one of the fascinating things I've noticed about the new project is that, like you said, it's very rock and roll influenced. I find that really cool because there's not enough bands kind of going back to the past instead of like, oh, hey, what bands from the last 5 years can I like copy?
Right.
So what sort of bands were you drawing influence from or even listening to when you were coming up with the 68 project?
I mean, it's pretty much the same thing I always listen to. I mean, always the Beatles. Obviously, the best rock band of all time is, you know, the Beatles and Zeppelin. And you know what I mean? It's like nobody's going to be able to do Zeppelin again. You know what I mean? It's like there's only one Zeppelin. And they stole all the best riffs ever to be played. So, you know, you just try to like, you know, do a little bit of, you know, just what you love. You know what I mean? And I like a lot of 90s bands. I love a lot of, you know, Jesus Lizard and obviously Nirvana and like Fugazi and just a bunch of bands that, you know, that I've always listened to and always have been small parts of what I write and small influences or big influences, you know. But, with 68, you know, it was same thing. I didn't change anything as far as like what bands I listen to or don't listen to. I like a lot of I mean, I love, like, James Brown, I love, like, Jerry Lee Lewis, I love a lot of performance-based artists, you know, where it's like, oh, these songs are amazing, but people talk about their live show, talk about how, you know, how into it they were, and I find myself gravitating more towards those artists, but, you know, I love just anything that feels real and feels passionate, you know what I mean, and I can enjoy almost anything that has those two qualities, you know.
I noticed you mentioned the Jesus Lizard, and I was secretly hoping that when you mentioned people you may have been listening to or artists you enjoy listening to as a whole, I was really hoping you'd mention Jesus Lizard, Helmet, Unsane, because...
Unsane.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of those are really noise rocker, some of the first post-hardcore bands.
Sure.
I guess, what's your favorite Helmet record?
I'd have to say Betty for that one, but I love
my favorite too.
Yeah,
that is my favorite,
dude. It's the
you
best.
Have no idea.
I like, do have I an idea. I have a great idea.
I'm hiding from someone.
You're doing a terrible job of it.
I am.
Welcome to Ybor.
Yeah, I mean, I like them all, but you know, Betty's the one that like I think I probably rocked like the hardest, you know.
So. Yeah.
Well, yeah. before we wrap this up, you've got the Tomorrow Night Show in Orlando, which if anybody's out there is listening to this and was at or is going to be at that show, go to it, because the last show for a band is always a very emotional thing. But for you guys, other than the Stick to Your Guns and the Amity Affliction tour, what have you guys got going on for the next few months?
Immediately after tomorrow, we eat Thanksgiving, and then we fly out to Europe, and we do about a month over there until right before Christmas. Then we fly out to Israel, and we play two shows, and then next thing in line is that Stick to Your Guns tour, and we have a few things other than that lined up, but for some reason I can't mention them. I don't know why. They're not out yet. I'm like, why would you not want me to promote it? But for whatever reason, I can't talk about them. So either way, there's some cool things coming up, and if you live anywhere in the States, I'm sure we'll be around the area, so you know, hopefully we'll get to hang out. So
all right, well, like a true pop punk kid, I'm going to get some pizza very soon. But definitely, Josh, thank you for giving us some of your time today.
Thank you so much.
And be sure to check out 68 on tour anywhere in the States, Israel, Europe, anywhere where music is played, I'm sure they will be there. This has been Bradley Dillon for UniFury.com. Be sure to check out 68 on all social networks, because they are pretty awesome. Later, guys.